Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know that He is risen. And on this Easter Sunday morning, we are going to do what we have been told to do, and that is to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we bring to fruition the last sermon that I'm going to preach this time around on the Sermon on the Mount, I'm going to end this series today. And the title of our series today, the title of this sermon in our series, is Only One Way In. And that truly comes to us right out of the Sermon on the Mount. As we remember, this sermon series is literally about the delusion that is happening all around us throughout our world, even now. Not just here in the United States, but in every corner of the world. There is a darkness that is ever increasing. And the Lord has told us that as we get closer and closer to the day, that delusion is going to increase. That darkness is going to increase as the evil one raises himself up and people bow down to him. Remember, he tried to do that very thing with Jesus in the desert. As Jesus was out after being baptized, as he was tried by Satan himself for 40 days and 40 nights. Because if Satan could have gotten the Lord to bow down to him, it would have ended back then. But the Lord Jesus said, no, this is not the way it's to be. And he set up the church age, and that is where we live today. And in that age, let us turn to the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter to bring about unto the word of the Lord, or from the word of the Lord, the last of our series in this Sermon on the Mount. We're going to begin in verse 13, and we're going to read through 27, and then I'm going to go back, just as I've been doing the whole way through, and we are going to look at a couple of verses at a time and break them down and see what is happening here, what the Lord himself is teaching us. So from the 13th verse of the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, thus saith the word of the Lord. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree that bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, so that you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who are practicing lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came. The winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Blessed be the word of our Lord Jesus the Christ to our immortal souls. Amen. As we look at these words, as we come back and begin tearing this apart and looking at what Jesus is talking to us about, there is one way, only one way in. Jesus spoke it several times and in several different ways. This is one of the ways that he spoke it. Please remember, if you were here with us on Maundy Thursday, you realize that Jesus was telling us, if we knock on the door, if we seek him, we will be found by him. Because that whole thing about knocking and seeking, it's not about knocking and seeking about the things you long for of this world. It is knocking and seeking for our eternal salvation, that which truly is life itself. Can I get an amen? And then Jesus comes right on the heels of that, and he tells us, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. That way is Jesus Christ, and each and every one of us here in the congregation this day knows that. And I pray for those of you who are out there on the internet, if you're questioning, is this stuff real? Yes, it is real. There has only been one who has said he is God. There has only been one who has said, I am the only way. And his name is Jesus the Christ. And praise and glory to him. For he showed us that it was not simply something he could say, but something he had to pay for. And he paid for that with his life. He gave his life up for you and I. And how do we know it was a holy and righteous life? Because he yet liveth. Can I get an amen? For the tomb is empty and the grave is no more. You and I live in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. On this Easter Sunday morning, that's why we're here, to celebrate and to remember. Is this the actual day? We have no idea. All we can do is remember. And isn't that what the Lord has told us? Remember, 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 and teach your children. And that is what we do. Because there are so many different calendars out there as to when the actual Passover is. Well, guess what? I don't care. And you may look at me and say, theologically, Pastor, he says there's only one way, so how can you be sure if you don't worship it on that day? He didn't say to worship the day. He said to worship him. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the one we seek after. And I don't care what a calendar says. What I care is what my Savior said. And in this we know, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many are on it. But narrow is the road, and narrow is the gate that leads unto life, and few find it. And that name of that gate is Jesus Christ. He is the truth, the way, and the life. No one cometh to the Father but by me. That truth we know and we hold. And Jesus goes on from there because he wants us to understand that there are going to be many who are going to come in his name and are going to try to lead us astray or going to try to hurt us because it is profitable unto them. So Jesus does not leave us abandoned. He does not forsake us. He tells us these things are going to come, which means what? You and I have to be men and women of knowledge, of intellect, of reason. Feeling is okay, but it can't be your all. Can I get an amen, church? So we must reason. What must we reason? Look at verses 15 through 20. He says to us, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, so then you will know them by their fruits. I'm reminded of the church and really realizing that there are many men and women, people out there who proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they have perverted this gospel. They have taken liberty with this gospel. They've turned it into a prosperity gospel. They've turned it into a socio-political gospel. They've turned it into a cultural gospel. And they have allowed all the things of the world to creep in upon it. I am told by many that, oh yeah, but this pastor is so wonderful, and if God were not blessing him, and you know, he's a multimillionaire, and look at all the money he has. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want it here on earth. I want it in heaven. And my treasure is not money. My treasure is seated before me, the body of Christ Jesus, those who are his sheep. And when he cashes that in, I'm going to be one of the wealthiest men in the universe. Because it's an eternal reward. It's not an earthly reward. I don't need a personal jet. Number one, I don't like flying that much. And number two, I wouldn't be responsible with it. Can I get an amen, church? Am I talking to all of us here? The things of man belong to man. The things of God belong to God. And we need to be careful how we treat them. That's what this is telling us who are pastors. And it's telling you who are the congregants, be wary of those who bring this news. Because they may be false prophets. They may be wolves in sheep's clothing. You'll know them by their fruit. If all their fruit is here on earth, guess what? It's bad fruit. But if they are storing up treasure in heaven, where they themselves are being brought low, and people constantly keep coming, you better ask yourself, is that man a man of God? I want you to think about Jesus. I want you to think about his life here on earth. It led to the cross of Calvary. Would anybody think he was successful? Absolutely not. Was he successful? He has changed our world. One man has changed our world so much so that we come to him and we cling to him. Why? Because we know he is the Savior. He has proven himself to us time and time and time again. This past week, as your pastor, I was literally watching, and you're going to find this funny, at least I hope you do. I was watching false teachers. I mean, I was tuning in to every type of false teacher that I could. Why? Because I wanted to be able to speak to you in reality. There are those out there who say all kinds of horrible things against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They tell me that if my whole reason for believing is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I'm an idiot. I said, wait a minute, how can I be an idiot? You know, how many people have come back from the dead? Well, you can't prove that he came back from the dead. Excuse me, I'm 2,000 years afterward, and there is literature written that has been proven that, yes, he did live again. He did raise again. Over 500 people saw him. Okay, there is enough evidence to convict in court that this thing actually happened. Yeah, but you don't know that for certain because that book was written and people changed it. Ah, wrong chicken. There is more textual context of the truth of the narrative than any other book produced on earth. We need to understand false prophets are going to come up, wolves in sheep's clothing. They're going to try to tell you, oh, none of that stuff matters, just live a good life. How many of you can live a good life? I can't, because I know what sin is. Because you see, in order to live a good life, you have to lay down sin, don't you? You have to forget sin exists. But I know I am a wretch, and in that I bear good fruit. Why? Because the fruit that I bear is fruit in humility. Remember, we need to go back. This sermon began in chapter 5. Do you remember the Beatitudes? Do you remember what he said? Do you remember chapter 6 where he went over how theologically, you know, everybody says, oh, Jesus raised the bar? No, Jesus didn't raise the bar. He reestablished it. He put it back to where it was, that none of us can come to this place. None of us. There's only one, and he was Jesus Christ. And in him we live and have our being. And then we learn that even our worship isn't right. Oh my goodness, how many of us argue over the color of carpet? Okay? How many of you remember when we were choosing the colors of the chair or the manufacturer thereof? And then we were tested for a year as we waited for the stupid chairs. Yeah, God puts us through the test, doesn't he? You better believe he does. Are we going to focus on the minors, or are we going to major on the majors? And that's where we need to remember. The majors are things that are unseen. They are the things of the spirit world. They are the things of eternity. And Jesus is telling us, what's the good fruit? The things of eternity, not the things of this world. And he has shown us that in the giving of his life. And the proof is in the resurrection. There's an empty tomb. In fact, it was so empty that we don't even know where it was anymore, because it didn't mean anything, because it was empty. Why would we worship a tomb that was empty? Why do you think we don't know where Buddha's bones are? Because if we did, where would we be? There would be people there worshiping them, wouldn't they? A dead man's bones. I want you to think about that. We don't worship an empty tomb. What do we worship? Who do we worship? A risen Savior. He is alive. He is seated at the right hand of God, and he is coming again. Can I get an amen, church? And then we need to remember, because he went from the false prophets, he's warning us of the false prophets, but now Jesus has a word for you and I. Jesus has a word for you and I. Remember, he never leaves us alone. He always guides us. He always gives us that which we need. And now here's the word for you and I. Look at verse 21. Please look at verse 21. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There's a very, very famous gentleman out there, had a very big ministry, and he would go around slaying people in the spirit and all kinds of stuff. And finally, one day, his son spoke up just to say how much of a fake his dad really was. Now, I want you to think about what I'm talking about here, because there are going to be many who are going to say to me, Lord, Lord, look what we did in your name. Look what who did? What we did. In other words, what I did. Because they're going to be standing in a group. It's all these people are going to be together. And they're going to say, look what we did. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I want us all to understand something. Do you do the work of the Holy Spirit? No. Jesus does the work of the Holy Spirit through us. And that's something I need us to remember. We need to understand that anything that happens spiritually, it's not you and I doing it. We're simply a vessel. We're a tool. Okay? And yeah, I know some of us are real tools, right? But we are a tool in the Lord's hands. He will work through us if we are yielded to him. And that's what this is talking about. He who does the will of my Father. What is the will of my Father? Love God, love others, and go. It's the sum of all the prophets and the law. So when we love God and we love others and we are pouring out to them, and the Holy Spirit moves on you and says, I want you to pray over this individual, and we lay hands on them and pray, and something happens. Did you do it? Absolutely not. You were simply a vessel by which your faith enacted with their faith, and the power of God moved. We need to understand there are going to be many people who are going to go to him, and they're going to say, but Lord, Lord, look what I did. All these people were saved. Do you remember? I want you all to remember, Cyrus was used of the Lord to discipline the Lord's people, wasn't he? Cyrus was used Nebuchadnezzar was used in pulling Israel out of the land for wrath. And Cyrus was used to rebuild the walls, okay? He sent Nehemiah back. God uses pagans. God uses people who aren't in him to do good things. Because what did Jesus say to the people who were healed? Your faith has healed you. In other words, you reached out to God and Him reaching out. Because remember, He had laid down His glory. He had to depend on the Holy Spirit just like we did. And He would reach out His faith to God. The Holy Spirit would come and heal the individual. That's why you can blaspheme Jesus Christ, but dare you blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Because that's the unforgivable sin. Blaspheme Christ and blaspheme the Holy Spirit at the same time. We all need to remember, Jesus is telling you cannot blaspheme God, all right? While He was here on earth, He had laid it all down, and He took insult upon insult upon insult. Why? Because He came as a Savior to save us, not to judge us. That's the one thing you missed yesterday, or Wednesday, if you weren't here. Remember, Jesus didn't come as a judge. He came as a Savior. He's coming as a judge, and I don't think any of us want to be pointing a finger in that day, because it's not going to bode well for us. But for those of us who love Him and call upon His name, those who humble themselves before Him, we will see heaven. For we are doing the will of God the Father, which is yielding unto Him. Can I get an amen, church? And in that yielding, we find salvation. In that yielding, we find that empty tomb that sets us free. Because I'm going to tell you all right now, we all know we're going to die, right? It is appointed unto man to die once and then the judgment. The only way we get out of here alive at this point in time is what? The rapture. You got it. Okay? And it's amazing to me, because the church that gets raptured, we get to come back and rule and reign with Him. Because even up to this time, there have been two who got out alive. Does anybody remember their names? Elijah and Enoch. Elijah and Enoch. But guess what? They're coming back. One of my elders just spoke it. They're coming back. And they're going to die too. Because it is appointed unto man to die once. Only two made it out, but there are two witnesses who are going to come back. We know who they are. And we know that they're longing for that day, because they then too get to be part of the final resurrection. And will be in the glory of the Lord forever. Can I get an amen? But the world's going to go through hell until that point. But we need to remember this last portion of Scripture. I'm going to go over it. I want us to look at this. I want us to understand what Jesus is talking about here. And I'm going to take us back to the cross of Calvary so we can get it. The 24th through the 27th verse. Let us read the word of the Lord one more time. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, I can sit here and espouse on this, but I want to show you, Jesus wants to show you exactly what He was talking about. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke in chapter 23. Because again, it's not my opinion that matters, it's what God's Word says. And from the book of Luke, chapter 23, beginning in the 39th verse. Through the 43rd verse. This is while Jesus was on the cross of Calvary. This is the example of what He was talking about in that very scripture we just read. From verse 39 in the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke. One of the criminals who were hanging there was hurling insults at Him, being Jesus. Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him. Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. I want you to think about that cross. I want you to think about those three crosses up on that hill. This is the example all of us need to understand. One cross was for salvation. The other two crosses are our crosses. And we are going to bear them, one to death or one to life. Remember, each and every one of us needs to bear our cross no matter what. The one on the one side scorned the Lord, mocked the Lord, said, if you are the Lord, do this for yourself and also me. Is that not what many of these false prophets that we're speaking about talk about? Is that not the sinking sand that Jesus was talking about? You have to have a foundation to lay it upon. Well, what about the other guy? He was at the end of his life. He says, I'm a sinner. He looked at them and said, we are receiving the just rewards of what we have done. That's called what? Repentance. And he looked at the Lord and said, this man has done nothing. Don't you fear God? Can you see what's happening in this man's heart as he's on the cross of Calvary, the last moments of his life, and he says unto him, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I'm going to tell you right now, brothers and sisters, and we all need to hear it. Two men on the crosses beside Jesus Christ. Was either one of them baptized? Absolutely not. One went to hell and one went to heaven. Two men on the cross beside Jesus. Did any one of them read the Bible or go to Bible study? Absolutely not. One went to hell and one went to heaven. Neither one of them went through confirmation. Neither one of them sat in a church pew. Neither one of them lived a life worthy unto the Lord. But one, in his last moments, made a confession of his sin. That is the Beatitudes. That is looking at the humility of who we are, mourning for what we have done, and understanding that we deserve the penalty of death. And he called upon the name of the Lord. The Lord says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. Can I get an amen? And on the cross, on the cross, on the cross, one man believed and received, one man denied and died. Can I get an amen? That is exactly what Jesus Christ is talking about. Now, many of you out there are going to say, but Pastor, then I don't have to go to church. Well, you know what? You don't. But better watch yourself, because by their fruits you shall know them. We need to remember that man waited till the end and had enough sense looking upon the Lord to call upon the Lord. You and I don't get to see him in the physical. We only see him in the spiritual. And if your heart's moving in that way right now, then you need to call upon that name now, for this is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. For no man knoweth the day nor the hour. And we all need to remember that is what Jesus is talking about. Start building on that foundation of rock. Stop trusting on the sand. I know we like to go to the beach, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't have a hidey hole in the mountains and that is on the rock, you better well forget it, because you're going to drown in the sorrows of your sin. That beach may be pretty, but you don't want to live there. Remember, they've been telling us that with climate warming, right? Everything's going to flood. Jesus said, the good Lord said, he'll never bring another flood. What do we have to worry about this next time? Fire. Let us get it right. Let us get it right. Today, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How many of you have ever heard the Sermon on the Mount preached to bring about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? He says right there, narrow is the way, narrow is the gate, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many are on it. But that narrow gate, that's where we need to go. And I'm going to tell you all right now, you know, I've often thought about, you know, they talk about the gates entering into Jerusalem and around the temple area. But I have to chuckle because every time I think about that, my mind goes to something else. My mind goes to the opening of a tomb because a tomb represents death. But guess what? My gate leads out of that tomb, not into that tomb. And that's what I think about every time I think about my Savior, is that I was dead, but now I am alive in Christ Jesus. And I will never die again. Yes, this physical body will perish, and I know that, and it's going to happen. But I, Rich Dubs, the man, the person, the being, I will never die. I will be with my Lord forever, and I want you to have that hope this day. I want you to know the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I want you to live in it. I want you to glory in it. I want you to understand that every day we're making flowers because every day we're pushing up life out of the ground. We are the light of the world. And I'm going to tell you right now, life comes from light. Can I get an amen, church? And as we spread that light this day, let us not forget, yes, this is one day. But we need to live in the resurrection power of Easter every day of our lives. We get together and we remember and we partake of communion. We are the body of Christ and we sing the Alleluia chorus. Because we know what we've been given. But now we know that we need to go out and give this very thing to everybody in the world. And that means putting yourself on the line. Jesus went to the line and he crossed it for us. We don't have to cross it. Now, we know there are martyrs who have, and glory to them, for they will receive a special reward. But for us, the body of Christ, let us be that light out into this world today. Let us remember the words that he spoke to us. Let us live on that rock, that the things of this earth will not come against us. They're going to come against us. How many of us go through the storms of life? But when we are founded on that rock, we shall not be shaken. We shall not be shaken. For there is only one way in, and that way is Jesus the Christ. You and I know the delusion that's happening all around us. Each one of us sees the darkness. But may we come to the light, and may we shine that light into a world that so desperately needs it. Pray with me this Easter Sunday. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what we remember in it. But Lord, may it not just be a day, may it be a lifestyle that we remember to live in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For he is the power of life itself. For Lord God, we know death could not defeat him. I can only think of what Satan's face looked like on that fateful day when he entered into hell and revealed himself and took the keys of life and death from Satan and entered into the presence, the ever glorious bosom of the Father, that we all may be there with him who choose him freely and willingly. Father, I pray that there are those out there hearing my voice who want to make that choice on this Easter Sunday. And Lord, if they do, may they pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Forgive me of my iniquities. Help me to live again anew. I choose you as my Savior. Walk with me, teach me, and guide me that I may know life. Lord, I yield to you. You are my Savior. Father, I am yours once again. Do with me as you will. By the power of your Holy Spirit, grant me life. Seal me now in the Spirit of Jesus, who is the Christ, my Savior now and forever. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.